We are looking to be spiritually mature mothers and fathers in the Lord as God intended us. Does that mean that we know everything? Doesn't mean that we possess all the gifts that there are for us to possess. But it does mean that we have a good understanding of why we are here and a good understanding of how to take authority over our flesh, our carnal nature, our senses that leads us into areas of destructive behavior. God is a wonderful God. And I know that you can attest to that as well. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always by our side, always willing. If you know him like I know him, he doesn't give up. We may fall. We talked about condemnation and conviction on Wednesday. And we may fall at some of our shortcomings and flaws, but he does not give up on us. He waits, in some cases, convicts us, chastises us sometimes, correcting us, in other words, trying to get us back in the right path. The path that we've chosen or the path that he's given us is a narrow way. You know, the Bible talks about broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to him. And we are in that narrow way. So you may feel confined. You may be constricted on both sides, like, oh, I can't do much. I can't go to the left or to the right. Because he's trying to guide and lead us in the right pattern that we should have. So we talked about growing in grace, and you can get the sermons that Pastor and I have been ministering us. And he's taken a different path than I am. My path is rooted in that scripture, foundational scripture of growing, us growing in grace and how God commands us to do so. And how that we can receive, we can look at ourselves and see our fruit. We can see the ornaments of the gospel hanging off us, the promises, the word of God, actually resulting in our life. And that by looking at ourselves, we can see how we are progressing towards this spiritual maturity that God is talking about. The word points out, and Paul gives us in the New Testament, very interesting analogies and examples of when we are newborns, babes, and the characteristics associated with that. When we are childlike in our faith and the characteristics associated with that. And he also gives us characteristics associated with being young men. Young men and women, adult. Hood, if you might want to say it that way. And then moving on to what true spiritual maturity in Christ is. There's a great revelation that's at the end of our spiritual maturity. And we all know we're headed in that direction. The Bible talks about it, that when we see him, we shall be as he is. You know, as he sees us, we shall be like him. And being like him, you know, we're not sons of God like he's a son, but we will be God's children, and in that same sense, sons and daughters of God. That spiritual attitude and atmosphere is what we possess and what we can possess. We have so much privilege and authority in the spiritual realm over ourselves and over the world. It's just amazing how God has such patience and waits on us for the things that he laid down his life for us to receive and have. They're just so evident as we study and read the Word of God. I wrote a book, and you guys know about it. It was called The Heart After God's Heart. I didn't intend to name it that when I first started writing it. It just came out as I was writing. And the things that God was sharing, the revelations he was giving me. And the one thing that came out in that book, that there are 30 characteristics represented in the book of 1 Samuel, characteristics of the heart that's after God's heart. And I didn't know how important it was. I was always interested in how David got that heart and why it was important. But in growing in grace, one of the most important things to us growing is our heart. The Bible talks about the word of God being sown in our heart and how that word, when it's sown, has to be on good ground in order to bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Or our heart can be all jangled up and confused up and jammed up with worldly ways and concerns and so forth and so on, and not bring forth any fruit. You know, or it can be so shallow that the enemy easily steals it from us. So our heart doesn't bear the fruit that it deserves. So in that book, first book, you'll get some characteristics of having a heart after God, of having a heart that's joyful and ready to receive the word of God so that we can grow, so that word grow. You know, if we do the things that God says, it won't be work at all. You know, you plant a flower or a tree or a vegetable or whatever, you plant it in the ground, the soil does the work. And after it sprouts, the sun and the water that you give it does the rest. It's almost an effortless thing that all you need to do is those simple things in order for that plant to take root and grow. It's the same thing with us in our spiritual life. Your spiritual health, your growth in God requires seed, the word of God, sown in your heart, watered by the word of God, so that it might grow into what God's grace is, the knowledge of God, the prosperous and blessings that he gives us. Our spiritual life works that same way. Without the seed and the watering, which is the word of God and the spirit, of course, we know represents the water as well, then we won't grow. We'll die on the vine. We read in John, Pastor talked about how Jesus said that any fruit, any branch in me that doesn't bring forth fruit, he takes away. Why doesn't that branch bring forth fruit? Why does it die on the vine? Isn't it evidence of us who are in Jesus, who don't take the time to allow the word of God to wash over us and nourish us so that we can grow? From 1 year to the next year, when you look back over your life on January 1 to January 1 of the next year, there should be some evidence, some things that you can point to say, I've grown past that. I've grown to an understanding that I don't have to be that way anymore. I've come into a new position, a new place in God. We should do that. It should happen every day, matter of fact. As we read our word. So our foundation of scripture, let me pray and then we'll get right into it. Father, we thank you for blessing us today. We thank you, Lord God, for your word of life and truth in us. We thank you, Father, for as we come before your holy throne, Lord, asking you to share with us your truths this morning. Truths, Lord God, that will help us to move away from our carnal and sin life, Lord God, into a life of the Spirit, into a life where you, Lord God, have desired us to come and be, that we can commune with you, Lord God, every day so easily, Father God, and effortlessly. We thank you and we praise you, Lord God. Anoint us from on high. Not only anoint us to speak, Father God, but anoint the hearers also in this congregation, that they may receive your word, whatever portion of it that you desire for them to have this morning, they take it away, Father, for the good of their souls in Jesus' name, we pray. Our foundational scripture for growing in grace is 2 Peter 3:17. Pastor told me that I said, last time I ministered, I said 1 Peter, and I didn't know that I said 1 Peter, but I want you to correct that now. It is 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 where we get our foundational scripture for growing in grace. Therefore, Let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men who distort doctrine and fall from your own steadfastness of mind, knowledge, truth, and faith. But grow spiritually mature in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He, to him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Paul is encouraging us. Grow spiritually mature. Don't endeavor to stay stagnant or lax, or stay in an understanding state. I guess I make that up. You want to be an understanding of the Word of God person. You want to have the wisdom of God. You don't want to be left out of some of the things that are in the Bible, that the Word speaks of. There's lots of there that is not contested. There's lots of word and promises that we have from God that is not attacked by anyone. Everybody agrees on a lot of things that are in the Word. I know there are certain points and things that people don't agree on that are in the Word that we see. But it's up to each one of us to grow and go past it. Grow in understanding of why those things that you don't understand, why are they there? Why? That's your question to God when you come across a scripture, especially I think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of speaking in tongues, that you gain some understanding. Ask God, what is this about? You and him, whatever quiet time you have and whatever space that you give him, you should be asking those questions and getting some understanding. Amen? I'm saying that because I believe that in order to grow spiritually mature, you can't grow without the Spirit. And I know that we have been recreated spirit beings of God, but he talks about another comforter that comes, and the Holy Spirit, and that we should gain some understanding of him and how he operates in our life and how he desires for us to grow. He's the only one that can really do it. He said he will lead us into all truth. God will lead us into all truth. Who is that? The Spirit of truth. There's another scripture I'm going to read, and then I'll move on to where we left off in our growth stages. The other scripture is found in Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Listen carefully. This is an amplified version. And his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. And he did this, Jesus did this, to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service. He did this. Who did this? Jesus did this. To fully equip and perfect, fully equipped and perfect the saints. To fully equipped, fully equipped. Can you imagine a soldier going into battle without being fully equipped? He doesn't have the certain pieces of armor that he needs. He doesn't have the artillery or the bullets that fits his gun, or, you know, the right kind of shoes. You know, think of some of you when you go to certain places, you go, I don't have the right dress. Some of you women go, I don't have the right earrings. I need some, you know, you talk about all this stuff. How is that just not right for the occasion? Jesus is talking about this in a different sense of us being spiritually mature. He wants us to be fully equipped. He don't want you to have anything absent that you have need of to do what? Do the work and the service that he is calling us to do. To fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service. To build up the body of Christ. the church, part of our responsibility as being fully equipped, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, I know a lot of you think, well, we all are not going to ever get into unity. We're not going to be one. We all not going to be one because we all have different opinions. Well, he says right here, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, reaching to the measure, we're measured against whom? Christ. To become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. Verse 14. So that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth. Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causing the body to grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. This is where we're headed. Some of us possess some of these qualities already, but we want to grow all the way up into him. We want to be fully formed. We want to be fully perfected. We want to be complete. You say, well, why? Because then we are able to build up the body, as he suggests, and also do the works and the services that he's called us to do. Now, we all, Pastor, had focused on one he focused on one service where he talked about the greater things that we would do. Greater things shall you do. You remember that? And we talked about, and he gave us a challenge. We all looked around and we're like, what great things are we doing? What are the greater things? And some of us can, you know, we can intellectualize or reason that away. I don't have to do any great things. I don't have to do what Jesus said I could do. I don't have to do it. I don't have to do what Jesus said. I mean, think about it. Isn't that what you're saying? When we are not pursuing what he has called us to do. And then there's a lot of other things that we can concentrate on too, I'm sure. But I'm just want to point out that we need to grow and that there is a reason for us to hunger for God. There's a reason for us to be or want to be different than we are today. Tomorrow. There's a reason for us wanting to move past just kind of waddling or existing or just getting by to being over triumphant, being victorious, being what Jesus has called us. So we talked about newborn babes. That's the first stage of our growth. We get saved. We are newborn babes, and there are definitely characteristics associated with being a newborn babe, positive and negative. We move from newborn babes into being a child of God with childlike faith, with childlike endeavors and behaviors. And even though we're all called children of God, this is a childlike stage. It's not growth. Amen? So not to differentiate those two. We talked about how that the kingdom of God belongs to the children, how they understand how to walk in the kingdom of God, God's spiritual atmosphere. The children know how to walk in that kingdom. In that kingdom exists all the keys that we need in order to what? Prosper and to grow Everything we need is in that kingdom of God. He's already given it to each of us, and it's up to us to go and grow into those things and understand what they are. We talked about the kingdom of God and all the things that happen in the kingdom of God. We move from the kingdom of God, and there's a lot to focus on. And so you should let the Holy Spirit lead and guide and teach you about that. We went from there as children to understanding that Paul talks about our sense nature, our flesh. And he gives us definitions for sin, our sin nature, what it is that causes us to fail. God said he came to what? Destroy sin in the flesh. Matter of fact, he commands us to mortify the deeds of the flesh, kill, numb, get rid of. He said, I went to the cross so that your flesh would not triumph over you. He dealt with the flesh. We talked about the flesh and the carnal nature. We talked about its principles and its characteristics. And a lot of us, I think, know about the flesh and the sense realm. One thing I'd like to share with you, that we're not trying to convert our physical being into a spiritual being. I think I'm saying that right. We are spirit because we have been recreated on the inside. There is a spirit, a portion of God that dwells in us. And if we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, there is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as well. Our soul and our will and emotions, our center of decision, our center of judgment, if you want to call it that, is the realm where our heart, it's part of our heart. That's the part that we want the Word of God to get into, to change. We want the Word of God to get into that soulish realm, that intellectual realm, the understanding realm, the knowledge realm, so that we would not then obey our senses, the five senses. We won't obey what we see all the time. We won't obey what we smell or touch or what we hear. Bible tells us, remember, he says, be careful how you hear. You know, we don't want to just be a hearer only, of course, but he says, heed how you hear. And then you say, well, that's part of my senses. Well, because that feeds the heart. That feeds the inside person. The sin nature or the senses cannot be converted into a saved soul. So it's on the inside. So we're still living from the outside in. We're supposed to live from the inside out. We're supposed to allow what's on our heart, or in our heart, to control what we do physically. Not that our flesh, our senses, what we sense, control what we do or what we say. Are you kind of getting what I'm trying to say? Our flesh is not to control what we do and say. We're to control that from the inside, which is guided and full of the knowledge of God and God's principles and so forth. So you say, well, what do you mean? Well, if I hunger, I'm hungry, I want some food, right? That's kind of like a sense thing, right? You're feeling like I need to eat. That part of you eating is not to rule you. So that you, that's the only thing you do, is eat, you know what I'm saying? You know, there are some times when you'll be doing something and God will be telling you to do something and I'll feed you. That's why we fast, so that we can get our sense nature under control of our spirit man, so that it doesn't control us. We don't want any of our outward physical being to control what inside. If I have a pain in my body or sickness in my body, I don't want that sickness or pain to control me. I want what to control me? The Word of God, the wisdom that comes from God, that should be flowing out of me. And I'm not saying you shouldn't go and to see doctors or go to hospital or take pills or anything like that. I'm not saying that you should not do any of that. I'm just saying that you should be led and guided in that by your Spirit. All of those things. And I know we all struggle with those. You know, you can't tell me when a pain hits you that the first thing that, well, a lot of us, Jesus does come out. Jesus, oh Lord. That's first that we say, help. But, you know, if that pain persists, we're going to go through some trial, tribulation with God, and we're dealing with that. And that's a little different than what I'm trying to convey, but I want you to see that there's a difference. Being controlled by your inner man, controlled by your spirit man, Jesus on the inside, as opposed to being controlled by what's on the outside of you. You understand that? And we are not, as Christians, trying to convert our flesh. Now, I think that was the word I said before. We're not trying to convert this flesh so that it becomes holy. God inside of us, the Spirit of God, Christ makes us holy. He makes the body holy by this indwelling of the Spirit of God. That is also how we control our fleshly nature, is by God inside, or being God inside-minded. You say, why is that important? Well, it's important for our growth. Because sometimes you may think that just because you ran into a person that you don't like, I don't like that person. I don't never like that person. Then all of a sudden, you know, you then have a reaction to a person that you don't like that comes out of your flesh. Why do you say that, Curtis? Because the Bible tells us that we're to love our enemies. So anybody you don't like, the Bible tells us to love them. So our purpose and our hope is that the Spirit of God on the inside of us is helping us to convey that love to the person we don't like. I even go this far, to the person that we hate, or the person that has offended us or hurt us. Because so we can be ruled by our senses. Oh, they get all over me. In my back. When they come around, then they start talking. Oh my God, I can't listen to. We get all just discombobulated. But God wants us to operate differently. And that's how you and I will know that we've grown, when we begin to see the offense as it is, a tool of the devil to move us away from the presence of God. Gotta get under control in our spirit man of our flesh. You say, well, I don't want to. I just want to hate those people. I just want to hate them because they're bad, they're evil, they're devilish. And I'm going to hate them. The Bible says, Jesus specifically said that you and I ought to love our enemies. Now, that is not a feeling of love. Feeling of love is not what we're talking about here. But we are talking about praying for them to receive salvation, praying that their eyes be opened, praying that they not be deceived by the enemy, and allowing that all that awful thing that's gnawing at their soul to cause them to act that way. Can you and I do that to the person that has offended you? Might be your person in your family that offended you, sister or your mother. We just heard about a sister and brother that offended each other and hadn't spoken in years to each other, years, because of some kind of thing that happened in their family. Christian folk. Now, bow does a T. See, that you and I should put on our full armor and go head straight into the enemy's camp. go straight to the person that you hate the most, and you go in there and try to live with them. No, the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. That would be a little bit childish, I think, on our part. God, unless God tells you to do that. But it does. The Bible doesn't say. it says to love them. And one part of being loving them is to lift them up in prayer. If you can go that far, then your heart is beginning to change. And you may, the next time you see them, have a different thing that comes on you in their presence. It may not bother you as much. When you understand how the enemy works on the lives of those who are unsaved, and even on those sometimes who are saved, who get into bitterness or unforgiveness, then you and I begin to operate differently. Do you see that? You say, how do I do it? By the Word of God, by allowing the Word of God to change your inner self, by the transformation and the renewing of your mind into the things of God. So the flesh, we know, is one of those things that is that right? Bank on it. That we talked about. So we were the part where we were on, and we might not get that far to this morning before we have to leave. We were talking about walking in the Spirit. So we had started that part of walking in the Spirit and how we walk in the Spirit and what walking in the Spirit is. And we had gotten to the place where we were about to talk about the fruit of the Spirit as part of us walking in the Spirit. Taking the fruit of the Spirit and making them or causing them or allowing them to come out of us. First fruit, we talked about a little bit, is the love of God. If you go over to Galatians 5:22, we can read all the fruit there. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So part of us walking in the Spirit is walking in the fruit of God's Spirit. Comes out of God who is in us. So we're all able to do all nine of these. He gives them to us. We are to express them like he desires for us to express them. All the time. All the time. Not just a little bit, not just, you know, when you come to church this morning, a lot of you going to do that. You're going to, oh, Curtis, we love you. And, oh, this one, we love you. We love hug and go, yeah. Go home, yell at your husband. Tell your wife, sit down. Sit down, shut up. Don't be bad. Yell at the children. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Blah, 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 blah. And you go, well, where's the love? Where's the love? It allows us to overcome whatever is causing us to do that. Whatever frustration we feel between in our relationships to one another. The love of God allows us to overcome the thing. The Bible tells us that the love of God, what? Covers a multitude of sin. And matter of fact, it also talks about that we should forgive our brother. How many times? 70 times? 490 times a day. 400. There's no room. He's like, there's no room for us to be offended or to not operate according to God's love. Now, I'm human just like you. You know, certain things get on my nerves too. And I know certain things get on your nerves. But what we're supposed to be allowing God to change that so that it doesn't get on our nerves, so that we can walk according to his life. If we are in any of those situations, I want you to hear yourself go, or the Holy Spirit tell you, that's not the love of God. That's not God's love coming through you. Effectively, that is, when you allow God's love to come in those situations, it is you denying yourself, denying your sinful nature for the presence of God. That's exactly what that is. And you say, well, I never thought I could do that. That's what that is. I'm not going to get angry at you, Sherry, because I'm going to allow the love of God to come out. I'm not going to allow that to tick me off. I'm going to get into a place with God, and I might have to get out of her presence, but I'm going to go somewhere and allow the Spirit of God to hover over me so that that real peaceable spirit can come out. You got to do that. Why? That's called growth. When you are able to stand, now I'm not saying that it's going to happen immediately and all the time, but I'm saying it should happen. Over time, you should get to a place where that thing, whatever that one thing is, doesn't bother you anymore. Come on now. I was reading, I like Smith Wigglesworth, and he was reading how he had gotten to a place where when his wife would cook, she would come back and say, well, how is it? He used to tell her how it was. But he had gotten to a place after he was in the Spirit so much and used by God, he got to a place where his response every time was, oh, that was great. It might have been too salty. It might have been too hot. It might have been too cold. It might not have been to his liking or his tasting. But every response that he made to her after he got that revelation was, oh, honey, it was wonderful. And because it came out of his spirit, he meant it. He really didn't care. He said, why would I upset her like that? That's not my job to upset her because food ain't great. My job is to live peacefully with her, to build her up, to allow her to see the love of God coming out of me. I know I'm talking to you. I know. Because that's real. That is real. And we need to grow past that. Allow the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts from the Holy Spirit. We know it's in there. Allow God to allow him to let it come out of us. Shut your mouth from allowing the trash and the hurtful words to come. Just be quiet. Just zip it. Tell the Holy Spirit to just hit you in the head. Knock me down, Holy Spirit, if I start to say stuff. Because that only brings what? Division, strife, stuff that comes out of your flesh, stuff that we've already been delivered from. We want to act differently. We want to be different. We want to be the real people that we are on the inside, on the outside. That's what I'm talking about. I know sometimes it just gets you right there and you just can't stop. And we regret it. Every last one of us who's done it, you say, I'm going to go with it. And you go with it. And then after you've done it, you go, dang on it. Now I got to go repent. Got to ask for forgiveness. And, you know, you got to do all those things. Because you knew that you shouldn't have allowed yourself to indulge in the flesh. Just because you felt it. See, this is our deal. Just because you think it's real, you go do it. You call yourself, I'm just being real. I'm not gonna be faking in here. I'm not gonna be a fake. I'm gonna be a real person. And you're allowing your flesh to overtake you with that attitude. You say, well, if we all can begin on those little areas, begin to overcome our flesh, you're going to be astounded of what spiritual life is going to start coming out of you. Because you're not just doing that because of some newfound principle or whatever. You're doing it because you love God. I'm doing this because your way says to do this. I'm doing it because I no longer want to act like that old person. In the flesh. I want to act like a new person. I want to be a new person. I want to be a new person that you call me to be. I want to grow out of those things. Now, some of us will say, especially in our relationships, well, she ain't growing. Look at she attacking me. she not doing what you said. Don't we all get like that? We want them. If they not doing it, I'm not going to do it. And this, who said that? We're supposed to do it because who does it? Jesus does it. Because that's what he would do. I'm doing this because Jesus said do it. Now, I ain't got nothing to do with what's going on in her heart and mind and on that particular day. Nothing. Got something to do with me. My life, my growth in God. I need to be obedient to the word of God and love, allow love to come out of me. Love my neighbor, love my enemies, love whomever God says that I'm to love. I'm supposed to love always. The love of God as being part of the fruit of the Spirit. There's a, you know, the chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, that talks about love. Go in it, study it, read it, allow those principles to overtake you. Forbearance, tolerance is part of our love. Forgiveness is part of the love of God. We are to do and operate in all those things. And every time that we know that we are doing it because of my Savior. My Lord did it first for me. Therefore, I'm going to do my best to do it. Because I want to not be in the same place I was a year ago after, you know, walking with God and hearing his word and listening to him and being obedient to him. A new commandment I give to you, John 13:34, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. This keeps coming back to me. In your home with your children and your spouses, they should know that you have love for one another. The love of God still should come out. Still should operate. Still should come. I was working at Sears for a little bit, many years ago, and there was the HR lady had come and we were talking. I can't remember how we got on the subject. Oh, I know it was. It was me and Sherry's anniversary, and I was telling her what we were doing, and she was just kind of like, "Oh, that's great. You've been married for I forget how many years it was," and stuff. And she says, "I wish I could have stayed with my husband that long." And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you know, we divorced and blah, blah, blah." And I said, well, what happened? And she said, "You know, we just let little things get to us. We let little things build up, and they just built up over time. And there was a soul, you know, we never got any resolution to the point where I just couldn't live with them no more, so I kicked them to the curb." And they got a divorce. And I kind of looked at her, and I thought about me and Sherry, and I said, "Well, there's a lot of little things that we fight over little stuff too. You know, every couple has those things." And when she said that, I thought, we didn't let them get to us. Something in us allowed us, I'm going to call it the love of God, to overlook whatever those things were. There was no other explanation. I have a best friend who says, "I don't know how people get married and stay married without God. How in the world does the world do it? They didn't tow each other up without having something in them to cause them to come back and go, I this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing this. I should go ask for forgiveness, or I should, you know, allow that offense to go drop. Why? Because of God's Spirit. Because of him living in us, we're able to look at those situations and overcome them. Isn't that great? Everybody in here should be just like, yay, Jesus, I can overcome them. And I'm still married because I've allowed him to operate through me with the love of God, to love my spouse. And she has to end loving me as well. So, you know, So we need to allow that to take place. Function like that. Don't function on the fact that you are fleshly, because the Bible tells us that he has overcome the flesh. We've overcome it. You and I, because we are Christians, because Jesus has saved us, and then his Spirit lives in us, we've overcome this. We don't have to let it control us any longer. And you should stand up and you should be adamant about it. You should say, daggone it, I'm not going to let that happen to me and my family and my church. You know, because church people get offended at one another as well. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm going to read these three scriptures, and then we're going to close. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers and overwhelms all transgressions, forgiving and overlooking another's fault. This is the love of God that we share. This is what we care. You want to call yourself a Christian, and you want other people to point at you and say, oh, she's a Christian, then you should start doing some of this love. Proverbs 17:9. He who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. But he who repeats or gossips about a matter separates intimate friends. Intimate friends would be like a spouse, wouldn't it? Got to gossip about your spouse. 1 Peter 4:8, last one. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. Amen. Think about it. That's the love that we have. That's the love that's given to us. The love that's shed abroad in the house by the Holy Spirit. That's the love that we walk in, we live in, we have it right with us every moment of every day. All we have to do is submit to it.